Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Creator. Chapter 11. The target population itself. At first, it may seem that the theme of this new chapter has already been addressed in the chapter about the definition of the target population or audience of the Gospel, but it should be noted that the two present distinctions. Defining the target population of an offer refers to a definition of which recipients the offerer who has created an offer wants to reach. The definition of the target population can be made by the offerer even regardless of the opinion, desire, and behavior of the recipients of the offer. Nevertheless, the aspect of the target population itself, properly speaking, considers the subject from the practical point of view of the recipients of the offer, since the context of an offer must also take into account, distinctly, the side of the offerer and the side of the recipients of the offer. We recall here also that a large part of the position of the recipients of an offer has already been explained in more detail in the subject The Limit of the Unlimited Gospel, and for this reason, we do not intend to address here all the same considerations already mentioned in that material. On the other hand, although it has already been commented by the subject mentioned above that the recipients of an offer play a decisive role in accepting or rejecting an offer presented to them, a particular approach has not been made in that material about the existence of difficulties that try to prevent the recipients of God's gospel from making a free choice for it. The word gospel, as seen in the subjects referred to above, basically means the offer of a good news, a set of good gifts, or the announcement and offer of the good news announced. In this way, considering that the gospel is an offer of a set of good news, why then should its proclamation cause discomfort to people or even resistance? Since the gospel is a set of good gifts, should it not always be greeted with joy and without attempts of impediments? At first, one may think, yes, that something new and good will always be welcomed, but since the new is new, it brings propositions of change. Moreover, if something called new does not bring with it propositions of change, it is not indeed new. In the subject history told by the unique father of all sons and daughters, we commented about the resistant posture of the people of a group of Athens who said they were eager for news, but when they heard the unusual, something which was entirely new, they dodged, in its majority, from the encounter with the new. When they saw the new, they rejected it because the newness exposed could come to affect their cultural or traditional ways of believing and positioning themselves regarding the fundamental aspects of human existence, the present life, as well as the eternal life. Innumerable propositions of newness presented to people in the world may be more challenging than they initially appear, for if a proposition presents something that is indeed new, it also, in a more detailed analysis, will turn out to be a proposition that contrasts some aspects previously known, established, or practiced. The presentation of something new may even include propositions for reviewing and changing the deepest convictions and beliefs in which a person has deposited trust, even if unconsciously. Although it may seem contradictory, often the offers or propositions that give people more freedom of choice for something new are also the ones that most challenge and even frighten people because they do not know how to deal with the novelty when it contrasts with their previous concepts and practices, something that can happen in a very intense way or especially also in relation to the gospel of the Creator. The gospel, having the characteristic of an offer of a set of good news, proposes many new aspects that enable those who receive it to live and walk in conformity with the newness of life offered to them by the Lord. However, the addition of new things may also conflict with some old or previous things with which people were associated. The gospel of God, by presenting newness of life, simultaneously or inevitably also exposes many earlier aspects that people followed or practiced and that may even have been practiced for a long time by them or in the society in which they live. The gospel of God is a set of gifts and conditions that can have a huge impact on the lives of those to whom it is directed, which is why the offer of the gospel of the Creator also faces the most diverse kinds of reactions of human beings. By delving into the most distinct aspects of the gospel of God, several positions contrary to what a person practices or thinks about the essential points of life may arise, but not only this, also sharp oppositions against the dedication of a person to the precious and unique gospel may be raised by others against it, as it is also clearly mentioned in the scriptures. John 15:20. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Considering that the gospel is a proposition grounded in the righteousness of God, in eternal truth, and still is distinct from so many concepts and practices in the world, it may even be avoided by some people because of the sense of shame about what is offered by it, as directly warned by the Lord Jesus Christ to the people in the world. Mark 8:35-38. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Still regarding shame, as a cause of people's resistance to the gospel of God, Paul, an apostle of Christ, explains his position against shame about the gospel and why he did not let shame keep him from continuing to follow the gospel of the Lord. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 2 Timothy 1:8-10. Therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Since the gospel of God is an instrument that manifests the glory of the eternal Creator, so that people may repent of the depreciation of the glory they confer upon the Lord and of the improper or excessive glory they confer upon themselves or upon the creation, it is inevitable that, in the face of the gospel, people are also exposed to the point that deals with the question of from whom a person seeks to be glorified or exalted. In turn, the search for inappropriate glorification, acknowledgments, or exaltation can also generate strong resistance from people to the gospel of the Creator, and even cause multitudes to deprive themselves or turn away from the central heavenly gift that God offers to humanity, exemplified by two more texts below. John 5:39-44. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, who receive honor from one another, and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? John 12:42-46. Nevertheless, even among the rulers many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me, believes not in me but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Yet another factor that can generate resistance from the recipients of God's offer, as to accepting and receiving it, is their sense of insecurity concerning the gospel of the Lord. The feeling of insecurity is a factor that may represent a significant influence on people's decisions, which, on the one hand, is not necessarily bad or harmful if it serves as a prevention against hasty decisions, but which, on the other hand, may become harmful if people are confident in something that is not really as safe as they think it is, or if this feeling leads people to avoid what would actually be beneficial to them. Therefore, the offers that contrast sharply and clearly with points that serve as a safety parameter in people's understanding, as it is the case with the announcement of the gospel of God, are offers that may find significant resistance because many people are firmly attached to aspects that until then have caused a sense of security, even if what they trust is not really safe. In the face of something new, people may adopt a posture of resistance to what is exposed to them merely by being in a position of fear of being dissuaded or coerced to leave what until that moment seemed safe to them, avoiding even to evaluate what the gospel of the Lord proposes to them. As discussed above, resistance to what causes a sense of insecurity in many cases can be highly beneficial and serve as special protection to a person. On the other hand, often, also what can lead a person to true freedom in the Lord may be resisted or rejected, and this, because a person does not know or trust the fundamental aspects that are precisely those that one most needs to be positioned in the condition of true security for his or her life. 1 Thessalonians 5, 3-10. For when they say, "Peace and safety," then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Furthermore, when some people come across with the proposition of the gospel of God, which in fact gives them freedom of choice, it may also occur that they resist or reject what is proposed to them by thinking that by getting more information they become more responsible for their decisions and that they, therefore, cannot continue to hide behind a pretext of blaming or accusing others because of the decisions that they really need to make in their lives. Thus, although it has been commented in the subject The Limit of the Unlimited Gospel that the recipients of the gospel have a determining role in the recognition and acceptance of the gospel, the understanding that there is in the world a diversity of subtle postures that lead people to position themselves contrary to the gospel can also be very significant so that people do not allow themselves to be overcome by what seeks to interpose between them and the gospel of love offered to them by the Lord. Lastly, in this chapter, we would like to point out that although resistance to the gospel of God is often expressed by the fact that people actively or passively reject the Lord's light because they prefer darkness, the glory of men, or because they do not want to give up some aspects in which they feel secure, the resistance to the Lord's gift may also occur, in an expressive part of cases, because people are unaware that the gospel of God is an offer that is also based on the mercy, kindness, and long-suffering of the Lord for each human being. God presents his gospel in such a way that its recipients may accept Christ in the condition and the place they find themselves when they hear its announcement. God does not require a person to be perfect and free from sin to receive His gospel, for it is precisely through His gospel that the Lord offers help to people to become victorious over sin. The gospel of God does not require that the recipients of it beforehand become able to walk in righteousness to receive this gospel, for it is through the gospel that God helps people to walk in righteousness and to stand up again when they eventually stumble. Life in conformity with the gospel of God is not like the proposition of life under the law of Moses or of the Old Covenant, under which a person would first have to fulfill all the law, which is impossible, so that, through the works of the law, one could obtain a condition of justification before the condemnation of sin and before the Lord. Acceptance of the gospel of God is something that starts in the heart. It is something that begins with an inner trust in God expressed in words directed by a person to God so that this person, from the receiving of the gospel, also receives the newness of the heavenly life to be guided and strengthened by the Spirit of the Lord. The difficulties or resistances that people present to accept the gospel of God are difficulties that the people themselves, the world, or the power of darkness try to interpose regarding the receiving of the gospel of God. That is why it can also be so meaningful to have knowledge about the ways people resist the Lord's offer to them, so that each person may distinguish that it is not the gospel that is complex to be received and neither is God who does not want people to accept this gospel. On the contrary, God broadly declares His longing that all may come to know the truth and be saved in Christ Jesus, as well as He declares the simplicity with which the gospel may be received into the heart of the one who wants to receive it. 1 Timothy 2:1-6. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Romans 10:8-13. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ made no objection to extending the gospel of salvation to the criminal who was hanged on a cross beside Him. On the contrary, at the precise moment when the criminal cried out to the Lord for salvation, he also received it from the Lord, even in the deplorable state in which he was crucified beside Christ. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he still used the name Saul more frequently, was a persecutor of Christ and the true Christians, and even this was not an impediment to his ready acceptance of the gospel of God when the Lord offered it to him. Paul testifies about himself saying that if God extended grace to him even when he was still a devoted persecutor of Christ and oppressor of the Christians, God will surely also extend the grace of His gospel to all other recipients who want to receive it in their hearts. 1 Timothy 1:15-16. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. The Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, and the other writers of the Scriptures repeatedly affirm that the Lord granted His gospel for the salvation of people in their worst and most obscure circumstances, exemplified by a few more texts below. Mark 2, 17. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners, to repentance." Luke 5, 32. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners, to repentance. Romans 5, 8-11. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Although human beings are the recipients of the gospel of God, and that to them is also extended a power to choose to accept or to reject it, they do not have the capability, in themselves, to first free themselves from their prisons and chains in order to become some sort of good people that could come to have an appropriate merit to receive this gospel. Human beings, as recipients of the gospel of God, make a great mistake when they think that they can free themselves from their weakness, transgressions, and sins to only then deserve or to be able to receive the gospel of God. Therefore, realizing that it is impossible to present oneself perfect before God to only then receive the gospel can be a crucial insight for a person to know that one does not need to wait any more minutes to open one's heart to receive the gospel of the Lord. Luke 23, 39-43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The gospel of God is offered by the grace of the Lord to all people. However, if a person does not understand that heavenly grace also extends the mercy of God so that one may receive the gospel even in his or her sinful condition, and that everyone needs the Lord to reach repentance and newness of life, this person may encounter hard difficulties or resistance to understand that he or she has always been and remains to be a recipient to whom the gospel of God is already available to be received. Finally, to conclude this chapter, we would like to mention that although God confers the opportunity to people so that they can choose to receive or resist His gospel, the period in which there are favorable conditions for an individual to make a choice for the gospel is not under the control of a person for the time that one may eventually imagine it is, in the sense of thinking that one can indefinitely delay what should be done on the day called today. God, through His mercies, is mighty to intervene on behalf of people in the darkest circumstances in which they may find themselves. Nevertheless, it is also for this reason that the recipients of the gospel should never despise the goodness of God when it is offered to them, for the fact of postponing the acceptance of the offer of kindness and mercy towards them also implies that they are distancing themselves more and more, in their heart, from the only gifts that can lead them to repentance and salvation in the Lord. Although God's mercy can save people in their worst condition, if a person rejects the mercy of God, also found in the very gospel of God, there is nothing left for him or her to attain repentance from his or her wicked ways. Romans 2, 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God's mercy is another wonderful aspect of the gospel of the Creator and should never be taken lightly by anyone to whom the heavenly gospel is offered. Thus, if, on the part of God, the definition of the target population of the gospel encompasses all people in the world, The recipients of this gospel should never regard God's mercy lightly and contemptuously, for it is the means that gives them the possibility to respond appropriately to the invitation that God extends to them to receive the salvation and newness of life of His gospel. And yet, due to its vital importance, the subject of God's mercy for the benefit of the recipients will be dealt with many times in other titles on the gospel of God, as well as in a very specific way in the subject The Great Mercy of the Heavenly Father of the series on the life of the Christian in the world. Lamentations 3, 21-25. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him.